Well, hello again, everyone in Turdville. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Jim Willie podcast, not of the TFMR podcast. Today, we welcome back, though, one of our favorite guests, clearly the most requested guest, and that is Jim Willie. Jim, everyone knows, is the editor of the Hat Trick Letter. And he is also the proprietor of the Golden Jackass website, and he is a very knowledgeable and wise gentleman, and so thus everyone always wants to hear from him. So I welcome him back today. Of course, opinions expressed by Mr. Willie are not necessarily those of the TFMR website, its staff, or its proprietor, but of course, that's only because Jim is likely right and I am wrong. So, Jim, welcome back, my friend.
I don't know what to say. You know, cut that crap out. I'm just a jackass. I'm a jackass who slipped through the system with a PhD in statistics. Oh, gosh. I tell you, it's so funny. A jackass and a turd. What a combination. But, man, we are not proud, are we, turd?
No, and who in their right mind would actually spend time listening to us? But apparently, let's go on as if someone will, all right?
Okay.
And I'm going to kind of change the format a little bit here. In that, folks that have listened to us talk before, sometimes we have kind of a free rambling format, as if we're sharing a beer. But today, there's so much going on, and there are a few topics I want to get your direct opinion on. So I'm going to change this into like a regular interview where I'm going to just fire a handful of questions at Jim, and then just let him pick up the ball and run with it. So Jim, as we begin this process, let me hit you with this one. So far, we've seen interest rates fall dramatically as the Fed is managing the situation. They become they become the bond market. But why is it that the official 0% interest rate by the U.S. Central Bank is considered a trap by you? And why is the U.S. Fed stuck as that primary buyer of treasuries?
Okay, it's a trap. I wrote in the spring months of 2009 when they finished their stupidity about green shoots and then they started talking about an exit strategy. I claimed that both were nonsense, and the exit strategy would never be an opportunity. It would be stuck at 0% and they'd never get out. Well, lo and behold, here we are 3 full years later and more, and they're stuck at 0%. Not only are they stuck at 0%, they're talking about going to keep it all the way through 2015. What they're trying to say is it's permanent. All right, there are several reasons why it's going to stay right where it is at near zero, and that starting with the U.S. borrowing costs would be enormous in their increase on the $17 trillion in debt. Well, every year, add a trillion or more. So next year, it would cost even more for $18 trillion, and the year after, $19 trillion. They like low borrowing costs. Okay, second, the carry trade by the big banks would have to be unwound. Now, it's not widely understood, but the chief activity by the big banks, I'm talking about Citigroup and Bank of America and JP Morgan, their main activity is carry trade. They borrow at the near 0% rate, and they buy long-term treasuries. All right, well, that's a lot of demand for the long-term treasury. That's one reason they stay down low, but the biggest reason they get down low is the interest rate derivatives. But anyway, they don't want – the central bank does not want the banks to unwind their carry trade. They'd be sellers of gigantic blocks of treasury bonds that they've loaded on with leverage in an arbitrage. Another reason – they don't want to have a giant unwind of massive derivatives. These derivatives are just – some of them are 30 and 40 times leverage, but some of them are 100 and 200 times leverage. You start seeing a rise in the interest rate, and the long side, the long end would rise with it. Everything would rise, and not only would the carry trades bust, not only would the interest rate cost approach the cost of the entire Pentagon budget – from a higher rate, but they would smash the derivatives. They'd start busting all over the place. You'd get some nuclear financial winter. They don't want that. Why would they want that? And another reason is they don't want a higher interest rate for borrowing costs for legitimate businesses that are trying to conduct their ways. Higher borrowing costs for car loans and mortgages. Look, we've got under 4% for mortgages right now, and it's still not working to help the housing market. So what would happen if they went up 2%? No. This is a permanent dead-end trap. Japan was the example. We're so effing arrogant to call the Japanese different or inferior in some way. No, they are better off all those years. They had a trade surplus, guys. We don't. No. We are Japan with none of their advantages. But why? What really do they want the low rate for, the near zero rate? Well, it stimulates speculation. Like the bond carry trade. Yeah. It enables bond redemption. Doesn't cost much for the Fed to say, well, we'll take that crappy mortgage bond and we'll replace it with a treasury bond because it doesn't cost anything to make it at 0%. It makes easy. Also, the U.S. treasury bond artificial support, known as the interest rate swap, the derivatives. Now, in the same vein, foreign creditors, I mean, you've got this problem. The Fed is the only buyer. They're the primary buyers of these treasury bonds. What's going on? The foreign creditors see no more potential growth. Principal growth.
Right.
The bonds are not going to go up in value. Once you get near zero, there's almost no more growth. If you go from 1.25% to 0.75%, the principal increase is not much. No. The big gains are going from 6 to 4. Foreigners see a risk of a big loss coming from exchange rate devaluation. They don't think the dollar is going to be preserving its value. I think there's a lot of word out that the dollar is going to be rejected, and it's going to come from the trade settlement system. They're observing the central bank debasing the dollar. I mean, it's catastrophic what they're doing. We're just printing trillions of dollars and trying to maintain a price system. But what's really happening is that the incomes are staying the same or falling while the cost structure is rising. They see potential urges for more so as to rescue the financial markets. I mean, every couple months you hear some moron on Bloomberg or CNBC saying, well, what we really need is the Fed to come on and, you know, help us along with another big jolt of bond purchases. That'll lift the market and really help us all out. So that's what the financial markets are dependent on. We see both U.S. government deficits that don't come down and endless war costs, which are not stopped because war is sacred in the fascist nation of the United States. Most Americans don't even know what the word fascism means. As they salute the honor guards at football events, since when is military justified at a sporting event? Okay, they're awakening to the interest rate swap contracts. Remember in May, you and I did a show. We tried to reveal things about J.P. Morgan and a much larger loss that was not due to European sovereign bonds, but it was due to interest rate swaps collapsing on them. The foreigners are seeing treasury bonds as toxic. They're diversifying their way out of them. Yep. They're seeing the great American asset bubble. You know, what's coming is a non-U.S. dollar-based trade settlement system. The Fed is the buyer of the last resort here. It's the last buyer. They're up to 90% of all the treasury bonds that are, you know, put up for auction or whatever, for rollovers. This is going to end very badly. It's sickening what's happening.
Well, and you touched on it a few minutes ago. There are those out there, they're all Keynesians primarily, or those that just simply don't know any better, that think that this is good, that why can't the Fed be the buyer of last resort? Why can't the Fed just continue to buy all of the debt and totally fund the U.S. government with debt through quantitative easing? Can you kind of go into and put into English the risks involved there?
Well, yeah, most people don't understand what inflation is. They don't understand that kind of a solution brings about Weimar inflation. They don't understand how prices rise. They think it's some kind of a natural course of events that from a growing economy, we've been taught this crap for a long time, a growing economy brings about higher prices. No, it doesn't. It brings about a larger supply base. that meets the higher demand with stable prices if you have stable money and sound money. We don't. We don't.
Right.
The central banks, major central banks of the world, are nothing more than inflation factories.
Good way to put it.
The consequence is higher price. What we've got now, because of China, is that we've got no rising incomes or falling and rising costs, which translates to smaller profit margins, which has to do with the next question.
Well, all right. As so there's clearly these risks. I mean, that you know, that it's not just simply as easy as having the Fed print cash to fund the government and to keep rates low.
But well, why does anybody need to work? Everybody can get a check from the Fed.
Right. Well, but go into, I mean, if you can, I mean, what are some of the risks of having rates at 0%? I mean, how is that? I mean, can you talk a little bit about what that does to other financial assets and the destruction of capital and all that kind of stuff?
Okay. I'm going to say something very plainly, that the 0% interest rate and with it the Fed's buying program of bonds, it guarantees killing the entire U.S. financial and economic system. They have said openly that it's going to be permanent.
Yep.
They don't use the word permanent. They just, every 6 months, they say, well, it'll be the end of 2014. And then 6 months, oh, it'll be to the end of, or at least the middle of 2015. To the end of the 2000, that's permanent. They're also saying that we don't really want bounds on what we purchase on bonds, because we want to have the flexibility to do the right thing at the right time and make sure that everything is hokey, copa, acetic. What right. they're doing is they're making everything toxic. Okay. Together, the monetary policies are killing the system. Expect the Treasury bond collapse, because the only buyer now, 90% of the buying, is from the Fed.
Yep.
And they actually spin this by saying that with 90% of the Fed, 90% of the bonds being bought by the Fed, you've got tight supply. That's the spin.
You know, I read the same article from Bloomberg. It's crazy.
It's just moronic. What it really means is that there's no demand.
Right.
And they're leaning on the inflation machinery, which is precisely what killed the entire nation of Germany with the Weimar Republic. The policies together are highly destructive to the entire structure. I call it capital destruction. Many people call it equipment retirement, capital retirement. But what you get is a rising cost structure from people hedging. The whole system hedges against the debasement of the currency. If more dollars are printed to send into the system, then people are actively going to buy up things like energy, buy up farmland, buy up gold and silver, buy up copper mines, buy up anything that's physical, that's tangible. And with the presence of China, it means that incomes are going to shrink.
Yep.
It means that the cost structure rises. And what happens to a marginal business when the cost structure rises? Their profits decrease, and they tend to shut down.
Right.
And there goes your cut off the electricity for your machinery. There goes your telecom system and your computer systems. And before you know it, they're looking to liquidate 86 PCs. Okay, that's capital destruction. That is the direct result of the Fed's action, which lifts the cost structure. The U.S. is on the road to systemic breakdown. The U.S. is on the road to government debt restructure. I mean, this fiscal cliff, it's just a warm-up. I wrote very clearly in the last few months of 08, after Lehman Brothers, in the next 2 or 3 years, we're going to be moving toward and then approaching and then over falling over a debt. I'm sorry, I can't get the analogy right. We're going to fall over a cliff. I hate to use the word cliff.
No, that's all right.
But we're going to approach something that we cannot get past. And it's going to result in a U.S. government debt default. And I've been trying to describe it in the last year or two what it'll look like. It's going to be a forced restructure of the debt. It's going to be a forced investment, say, of all your pension funds, guys. All your 401k, all your IRA, all your KEO, everything has to go into government treasuries. It's going to be a default. Okay, we are watching fascism, a painful form of financial business fascism, take root. Fascism is a merger of state and big business where preferred corporations become crime centers with complete legal impunity. The 0% rate distorts every single financial market by declaring the cost of money as zero, which should never be the case and is never the case because it does not allow for business failure. You've got to allow for business failure. You've got to allow for a return to a saver. A saver puts money into CD and he gets a percent back, 1.5%. That's crap. What you're doing is you're putting a huge wet blanket on the entire economy for the savers and people who own CDs in banks, pension funds, yep. Utilities. They all have to transform and become speculators and lose their asses, like with mortgage bonds. The hedges come in the form of gold and silver, industrial metals, farmlands, and it results in a higher cost structure. We saw it very clearly in 2011, early. When they came out with QE, I wrote to everybody, watch the entire cost structure rise quickly because they're not going to be prepared to stop it. In QE2, they did more stopping of it. But the key, I believe, is the Chinese industry. While the United States granted in 1999 the most favored nation trade status, I used to say I'll never know. Well, now I do know. We made a giant trade with them. Mm-hmm. We said to them, the Wall Street made a deal with them. They said, hand us over a lot of your Mao Zedong gold and silver on a lease, and we will give it back to you in 5 or 6 years with interest. And in return, we want you to buy up treasury bonds. Well, they bought up treasury bonds, and we leased all that leased gold
second time
and told them, F you, not giving it back. And that's what kicked on this trade relationship and made it a trade war. In 05, I said, this relationship will be mutually beneficial for a little while, and then it'll turn nasty, and then it'll turn into outright trade war in 4 or 5 years. And that's exactly what we got. Globalization is the driving force, the guts, the entire Western capitalist structure. I got a friend who came back a year ago from Spain, and he went to Catalonia. I mean, that's where Barcelona is. They don't speak Spanish. They have a special dialect. But he talked to a lot of shop owners because he was just curious himself, and we talked about this before his trip. He said, they're all complaining. They all shut down the little Spanish industries. They're all gone. They're all replaced by China. So this is a low-cost solution? No. It's a low-cost export of jobs and wealth replaced by debt. How's Spain doing?
Yeah, how are they doing these days?
Well, you know, which city do you want to point to? There are a million people on the streets with a demonstration, candles or whatever, showing their distaste, their disdain for what's going on. No, it's not possible to inflate the debt away when the incomes are not rising, but the debt keeps on growing. What you do is you approach systemic failure. I said in 2009, look for the 0% policy to go on forever, but forever really means until the debt defaults.
Yeah.
The clowns in Washington are showing you a broken political framework. There's no great resolve after the reelection. I don't care how he was reelected. We have to deal with the fact that he is still occupying the White House. There's no resolve. I mean, just days after the reelection in early November, Harry Reid out of Nevada changed the Rules Committee rules to make it even more difficult to come to agreements. Now, these are a bunch of clowns. I believe, I'm going to say this very firmly, the fiscal cliff and that whole bill of the mandatory cuts across the board, it was created in order to be enacted, not to be avoided. And that way, when enacted, everybody gets a cut. It's going to have a huge impact on the U.S. economy. It's going to be a major trigger factor for the systemic failure, and no one gets blamed. That's what they want. They don't want the political fallout of, oh, you're responsible for this thing not working. No, no, no. Forget it. Let's just go over the cliff. It's a lot easier, cross-the-board cut. No one's responsible. No one is ever responsible in Washington.
Plausible deniability, it would seem. And I, you touched on a couple of things that I want to go back to. And for the sake of time, though, we probably can't. But I do think it's interesting that the Chinese now, in their accumulation of gold, are actually just simply buying back their own gold. They have to know that, but That's what they're doing. But but rather than that, though, you touched on something kind of as an aside that is also near and dear to everybody's hearts here in Turdville as we prepare for what's certainly coming. And that's the fraud and the crime. Within that context of the whole systemic breakdown and the capitalistic death sentence, we'll call it, you know, of that's all due to quantitative easing and zero interest rates and all of the debt. Can you talk a little bit about that? You know, because we've seen it, we continue to see it, whether it's MF Global or the you know, any other type of corporate theft. I mean, talk a little. What do you see there, Jim? Talk about that a little bit, would you please?
Okay. Well, you know, just some basic human nature. If a guy is starving, he'll tend to steal an apple or steal a loaf of bread. If he's really desperate and clever, he might break into a home and steal the television and the stereo and the laptop PC. I had a robbery 3 years ago, and I immediately concluded, well, it's someone either poor or feeding a drug habit.
Yeah.
This is really not much different. We're seeing the capitalism death sentence with zero rate and quantitative easing. And as all this is going downhill, what do? But they create a war. Well, the war was not – I mean, the war in Iraq, it was very contrived, had a lot of hidden motives. But, you know, I like to think of it as a very simple tactic that they wanted to enable skimming of defense contracts and stealing of the Reconstruction Fund. They fund the Reconstruction Fund for Iraq. But then they stole $5 billion of it or $50 billion of it. And you know, Bush comes out and says, well, you know, it's just the cost of doing business. It's just the way things are. Yeah, right. The way things are in the fascist business model, where you have waves of financial crime, waves of bond fraud, waves of financial mortgage fraud, waves of contract fraud with mortgages, waves of account thefts like MF Global, waves of insider trading like in Goldman Sachs, where they blamed it on a Russian who tried to out them. The Russian tried to show that Goldman Sachs had an illegal device that was peaking with the Unix box. Instead, they made the Russian the villain, and Goldman Sachs was saved. No, MF Global was a crime scene where people stood in line for silver delivery and instead got their pockets picked. The naked shorts make the comics a crime scene, where you point out and the Silver Duck point out frequently that on a given day, like you know, November 2nd or a day following that, the entire global mining supply, mining output from silver mines was sold in 2 hours.
Yeah,
with naked shorts.
All of the paper equivalent of the physical holdings of Australia are dumped in 15 minutes.
15 minutes, and there's no law enforcement, and people, I mean, I'm not impressed with some people in the gold community who expect things like the Commodity Futures Trading Commission to come forward on white horses and slam Goldman Sachs and slam J.P. Morgan for their naked shorting or their uneconomic giant positions that make no sense. They're not mining companies. They're not selling forward output. What the hell are they doing? They're doing naked shorting. Wake up. The allocated leasing for gold accounts, this is one of the next crime scenes following LIBOR.
Yep.
It's all about crime. You look at these, and you know, here there were some hints when Geithner was selected in January of 2009 for Obama's Treasury Secretary. We heard things like, well, we don't want to give anybody on-the-job training. We want someone who's familiar with the system. Yeah, we want someone who's familiar and loyal to the crime syndicate to continue to cover it up, who knows how the criminal activity takes place. We don't want to have to convince him that it's necessary. We don't have to twist his arm and threaten his family in order to have it sustained. Oh, Lord. And then you've got the court cases for the mortgage fraud, and you get these hand slaps with a few million dollars. I remember a case for money laundering with Wachovia. And I think Wells Fargo was involved in another case. And I did some calculations of the amount of money that was involved in the money laundering and then the amount of money for the fine. And it came out to 1/30th of one penny per dollar of money laundering.
Like
that's what they do.
Then
they come up with the MERS title database, which would facilitate, as they said, make more efficient the sale of mortgage bonds so that titles could be tracked and transferred quickly. What it did was it hid mortgage counterfeit.
Right.
Where there were no titles, or it enabled through their software, clever software, that one title was used in four different mortgages. And then you got the Fannie Mae slush funds, another part of the criminal activity where Papa Bush administration and the, I should call it Papa Bush, and Clinton helped themselves to $1.5 trillion in slush funds from Fannie Mae that all got washed away. And instead of prosecuting it, they tried to kill the whistleblower. And then you've got J.P. Morgan. Now, little do people realize that at one point about 4 years ago, J.P. Morgan sold twice as much in Treasury bonds as were issued. It's called counterfeit. And the records were held at Building 7 in the World Trade Center, which went down despite the absence of any impact. It fell from structural sympathy. And I like to give the example of when I was in West Boston, I used to cut down trees once in a while with a chainsaw, and it was all a lot of fun. And you wear your special boots and and you wear your goggles. And by the time I knocked down about three or four trees, I noticed that a tree nearby just fell on its own out of structural sympathy. Not in our world.
Okay.
The fraud is built upon the derivative. And the derivatives have no regulatory oversight. They began in 1990, 3 years after Black Monday, 87. The U.S. financial system should have fallen on its face in the 1990 decade. Instead, what do? They get the irrational exuberance and a very cooperative Greenspan.
Yep.
Built the bubble, and you end up getting a climax in the tech telecom and a lot of fraud behind that. No, we got corruption, value distortion, market intervention, and obscene monetary printing that's all considered standard now. The criminal enterprises have taken control of the U.S. government executive, legislative, and financial branches, and they did it right after 9/11. Wake up, world.
Jim, I tell you, it is always not just entertaining, but enlightening to just give you the mic and let you just keep running. And I know everybody enjoys it, but and at the risk of making it sound disjointed or a strange interview, I'm actually going to jump in because I know the time is around. I mean, we've already been at this for a half hour, so at the risk of kind of keeping things moving and using everybody's time, I'm going to steer you off in another direction though, real quick, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
There's been a lot of talk, and I talk about it quite a bit, and everybody listening to this knows that. And I've got my own rationale behind this discussion of the gold standard and why we went off the gold standard so many years ago, and why Nixon closed the window, and how this is going to be. It's often postulated as some kind of academic discussion. Well, I don't think the gold standard will work, and then counterpoint, you know, some other fuzzy head tells you why it will. But what I think is lost in the equation is the fact that it's not going to be a decision that is made openly. It's something that's going to be forced, re-enforced upon the world, likely by the Chinese or Chinese working in consortium with Russians and Indians and Brazilians and other creditor nations. Now, that's enough of me talking. What I want to get to is why you might believe that the gold standard is coming. But then additionally, what do you see as the keys to reinstalling it, and what would be the impact on fiat price to those that currently own gold? Let me just run with that, and then we'll kind of wrap up.
Okay. Notice that they're trying a lot of different things, and that none of them are working. Notice, for instance, that Draghi put in a certain kind of bond and made it higher subordination, and it's a stability fund type of bond. I don't have the full acronym in front of me. I don't give a dog's ass what they call it. It's a piece of crap, a toxic piece of bonds. And notice that bond was just given a downgrade last week.
Yes.
So the rescue bond by the European Central Bank was given a downgrade. What does that tell you?
Yeah.
It means that everything they try is failing. The Europeans have a joke. Expect Americans to try every possible wrong solution until they finally have to do the right solution. That's a joke in Europe. The gold standard will return for the simple reason that the gold asset will be the last one standing, and the banks will clamor for it because everything else they own is going to go to hell. Everything else is turning toxic.
That makes a lot of sense.
Since when are sovereign bonds of Spain, Italy, and France ever supposed to go toxic? I mean, these are historic events. It'll return because it'll be the only viable solution after they try a lot of different stupid solutions. Notice that the bond purchase program, I mean, if QE1 was supposed to work, then why do we have to have QE2?
Right.
Why do we have to have Operation Twist? Why do we have to have QE3? Does anybody with a brain connected expect QE4? If not, then your brain's not connected.
Right.
Because none of the previous ones have worked, nor have they described to you why they did not work. All the bond patches in Europe have failed. We got a climax bust coming of bonds, currency, banking system. These are all insolvent. Gosh, it wasn't a month after Draghi's stillborn baby, as I call it, the stability fund. A month later, the banks were in worse shape because they bought overvalued bonds that the central bank itself bid up before they released the stability fund. They can't even implement properly their own solutions. Now, we're going to see nations participate in an alternative, and it's not going to come from the banking side.
No.
For the last 20 years, we've seen, well, this is how the banks work, and this is therefore how trade settlement will work. No, we're going to get something the other way around. This is how trade is going to settle. We don't want the dollar anymore. We don't want your effing dollar anymore. They're going to trade with these notes. They're going to be gold-backed. It's going to be a lot of different nations participating. All the nations that you see now doing Chinese yuan, what do they call it, currency swaps for trade. That's basically barter. All those nations are going to be the core of the new trade settlement system. It's not going to be dollar, and it's going to be decentralized. It's not going to go through banks. It's not going to all go through the U.S. Fed, which is the choke point for all global trade, because it's all done in the dollar, and it all goes to the banks, and all the banks go to the Fed. Oh, the Fed's way too busy doing this. They're controlling the world. No, it's going to be a decentralized, widespread trade settlement system based in gold, and this is how gold is going to get pushed to the minimum of 5,000 an ounce. I'm hearing 7,000 or higher.
13, it's going to be an 14, agreed. I didn't mean to interrupt you. No, well into the teens and beyond.
Well, it could, but it's going to start out at 5,000 to 7,000. And some have said, well, gee, why doesn't it start out just at 3,500? Or why doesn't it just start out where it is now? Well, it's because the current price is enforced by fraud. You've got naked shorting, and you've got stolen, I preferred that to rehypothecated, stolen gold accounts that they're scrambling to repatriate when Germany or Netherlands or Austria or Venezuela or now Ecuador are demanding. It's going to be 20 countries soon that are going to demand their gold. You can't honor the current price of gold because it's phony. It's false. It's corrupted. Now, the nations that participate in this new trade system are going to see a remarkable recovery in their economies and their banking systems. The nations that will not, I believe, are going to be largely the U.S., England, and Western Europe. It's going to be interesting to see what part of Western Europe does not join and instead says, no, we want to follow a faction in Germany that's working more closely with China and Russia. I call that the Eastern Coalition. The nations that do not participate in this new trade alternative settlement system will be cast into a corridor toward the third world. It's that simple. Chinese yuan is going to lead this process, I'm quite sure, because they're talking more and more now. They've got all these bilateral currency swap accords. Brazil, India, Korea, Iran, and Japan and Russia. Japan and Russia are the two biggest that have done now this Chinese yuan swap accord. Okay, the Chinese, I think, are going to move into this slowly. They're going to work first into convertibility of the yuan. It's going to be instantly tradable on Australian dollars into Brazilian real into British pound, into Swiss francs, into euro, whatever, Japanese yen. They've got to make convertible the yuan. And once they've got that, then I think what's going to happen is we're going to have some kind of a two-sided settlement system. You can use the yuan if you want, but you can also use these trade notes that are going to be gold-backed. And what you're going to see is a merger. This is just my opinion. The merger will be of the two roads, the yuan settlement and the gold trade note settlement. And eventually they're going to be interchangeable, and eventually they're going to be one and the same.
Yeah.
Watch Turkey, though. I've been when I was a high school kid, I asked my friends and my dad and teachers, what's so important about Turkey and why are they in NATO? They're not even in Europe. They're not on the Atlantic. They're not anywhere. What are they? And I was told, well, they're critical because they're so close to the Soviet Union for Air Force bases. Well, now the same thing is starting to happen. Turkey could be a test case because right now they're doing a lot of gold-based trade settlement. Wow. Not in the news, is it, on CNBC, on New York Times, on Bloomberg? No, because they don't report the news.
Right. But it's out there.
They report the Wall Street propaganda crap about jobs growth, where they revised down September and October and lifted the recent November. This is all crap. No, we're gonna see a very painful thing happen pretty soon, I think. I don't know whether it's a couple months or 6 months or 12 months or 18 months, but the system is breaking while these alternative systems are coming into being. Their platforms already built. And what's going to happen is dollars held outside the United States. Just think of a dollar-based account in a Panama bank, dollar-based account in a Singapore or Hong Kong bank, dollar-based account in a Swiss bank. They're going to be preserved. They're not going to get downgraded. They're not going to be devalued. But what will happen is dollars inside the United States are going to see at least a 30% and possibly a 50% devaluation. And I don't have all the mechanics of how it's going to work, but they're trapping dollars now. I noticed, for instance, that a debit card from a Pennsylvania bank, I no longer can withdraw money in Costa Rica.
Hmm.
I used to up to last year. Heck, I used to in Nicaragua. I did in July on trips down south to Nicaragua. No, the painful devaluation will be for the trapped dollars.
What reason do they give for that, Jim?
Well, they haven't yet. It just doesn't work. Huh. Do they need to give you a reason?
No. I just didn't know if they tried to spin something.
Well, I'm probably going to make a call to find out because I want to be informed. But I'm guessing what they're going to say is we've been told by new Department of Treasury rules that there will be no withdrawals from outside the country of our bank accounts. And it's as simple as that. And those are the new rules. We have to live. Okay. The dictators have issued their edict.
Well,
there's a wild card coming. Sorry, turd. I know your real born name on your birth certificate is turd. There's a wild card, and it's Saudi Arabia. It's really worth talking minimally about, but in September, Prince Bandar, their security head, was assassinated by Hezbollah. They've kept it quiet. It's retaliation because Saudi Arabia is funding hit squads in Syria. And right. Hezbollah has been told, well, go out and, wreak havoc in the land of Saud. So they killed Prince Bandar, and they put out some phony pictures and photographs. And I asked a guy I know who lives in the Persian Gulf, what about this picture? He said, oh, yeah, that picture's from last year. Okay, so they're keeping it quiet. Now you got Prince Abdullah, who really doesn't have a viable successor. They don't go to the son. They go to the brother. They're running out of brothers. It was Fahd who died about 5 years ago. Now it's Abdullah, who reports have it. I can't validate this. I can't confirm it. But reports say that he's got organ shut down across his body. Mm-hmm. Well, that means brain shut down too, because that happens to be an organ.
It is an organ.
I expect the House of Saud to have some very serious instability real soon. They've got lots and lots of internal problems. They got Much more usage of their energy supply, much less exported, smaller surpluses, more demands by the fundamentalists, more yakking about, you know, conflict and cooperation versus Iran, and they've got this mealy-mouthed runt of the litter who is in line to succeed Abdullah if they ever decide that they want somebody who's got a working brain and working organs to sit on their throne. Oh, boy. Well, I expect the petrodollar to die with the House of Saud.
Mm-hmm. And that certainly, you know, as we look at, I guess they call it the concept of the Arab Spring, and as it's moving from country to country, that's a domino that's in line to fall, that's for sure.
And it's really retribution for interfering with Syria. So you're seeing one nation after another destabilized, whether it's Egypt. Egypt is not the friend of the United States anymore. And then Libya, which has its own story, like stealing their 144 tons located in London. That's a great motive for war.
Sure.
And they give their conditions, and conditions will never be met, and the gold will never be repatriated to Libya, and the Libyan people will never see that wealth ever, ever again. And now you've got instability in Syria that's been going on for what, about 7 or 8, 10 months? We're starting to see now Bahrain, which is on the horn, the tip of the Hormuz Strait. There's instability there. There are arrests and rioting and all kinds of things going on.
Jordan's going to be next. Jordan's right there in that kind of horseshoe.
They're up toward Israel, but I'm more focused about the Persian Gulf. Bahrain borders Saudi. Yemen is a place of deep instability.
Yep.
That borders Saudi.
Yeah.
Iraq borders Saudi. Okay, so almost all of Saudi's neighbors are in flames. So look for the House of Saud to go through some shockwaves, and look for a strange declaration by the Saudis that euros are okay for oil sales, and so are yen, and yuan is fine, and British pounds, what the heck? And that'll be the end of the petrodollar,
yeah.
And that is the foundation platform for the U.S. dollar. If the United States has to buy yuan or yen or Swiss francs to buy in order to conduct a transaction in crude oil from the Saudis, that's going to be a major, major event.
You want to talk about bringing down the U.S. if that's your stated goal, to wipe out the great Satan. That'd be a logical place to start. Just take over Saudi and change that structure.
Well, or just influence the Saudis, whatever flimsy regime they've got there, to take whatever currency is possible in order to win friends from the Russians and Chinese and Germans who run the trade settlement system alternative.
In the first place, yeah.
Right. So it's going to be all curry favor to the new Eastern Alliance. And, you know, a big event happened on Easter Sunday 2010. I remember like it was yesterday. I was at a beach area with a friend of mine, and I got an email from a guy from the Persian Gulf, and he called it an Easter egg. And he said 200 Arab billionaires are meeting in Abu Dhabi to discuss the next protection agreement, the security agreement. Among other things, it discussed Iran too, but they agreed that Russia and China would be the next protector for the Persian Gulf because they were going to dismiss the U.S. And I immediately said, sounds like a formula for retiring the petrodollar. And he said, exacto mundo, which is really terrible Spanish, because that means exact world. It's a way a dumb American says exactamente, which means exactly. Exactamente. No, exactamundo. Hi, I'm stupid. I'm American. I don't know how to speak foreign languages.
Jim, I in that beautiful display of jackassery, I'm going to propose that that's a good stopping point, and we can carry on the conversation another day.
Why did you get off trying to put an end to this?
I know. But before I go, I would like to hear you in your own words Describe the hat trick letter. Tell people what that's all about, how frequently they can get it, and a little bit about Golden Jackass and some of your public stuff too.
Okay. I'm the editor of the hat trick letter. You find it on www.goldenjackass.com. The hat trick letter consists of two different reports issued per month. One's called the Money War Report, and the second is called the Gold and Currency Report. The Money War Report is high-level stuff like competing currency wars, the battles going on between the currencies run by the central banks and their policies, the quantitative easing and the Weimar activity regarding zero interest rate defense and the treasury bond bubble and the interest rate swaps that defend that. All those high-level things are in the Money War Report. But then the lower-level things that are, you know, equally interesting, but they're lower-level, is things like what's going on in Turkey, acting as an arbiter for conducting transactions and fulfilling them with gold, and all the different coin purchases and all the different criminal activities going on with the COMEX and all the movement of gold, like a lot of silver and gold being moved from the United States to London, where one might suspect that London is running out of gold and silver for the financial markets that sell gold and silver. I'm expecting a gold and silver default. I don't know when. It's coming. They're working toward it right now. So all those things are showing up in the Gold and Currency Report. It's competitively priced. I've been doing this thing now for 8.5 years, a little more. Just had my 100th month in July. Very excited to get there because I was hoping to do this for about 5 years. See how it goes. But it's been a big hit. And just for, you know, information on the people who are considering getting a newsletter, most of my competitors are dead. And it's an interesting point. They relied heavily on the mining stocks. In 2009, I made a big decision, fork in the road, and urged everybody in my client base to get out of the mining stocks and get into gold and silver, in particular overweight silver, which has tripled in price. The mining stocks are suffering. They're not doing well. There was a death of one competitor, two competitors, Chapman and Coffin. And a lot of them have either gone out of business or changed. One of the competitors is now doing a green energy report on, you know, photoelectric and wind turbines and things like, which are valuable, but there aren't too many newsletters
after 8 years.
Yeah. That started several years ago in gold and silver. Yeah, and one of the reasons is it's called Correct Forecasts.
Absolutely. And that's clearly the value of what you do. And I laugh when you say most of my competitors are dead. Because I also think of that as in a literal sense, doing this for a living kind of puts you in an early grave.
Well, what I try to do to not burn out is take a break where for a week after writing a report, I am buzzed. My head's buzzing and friends of mine say, Jim, you look distracted. I said, yeah, and I'm decompressing for the next day or two. I'm really hyped up and, you know, on edge, giving my best for the analysis and writing and proofreading and get rid of the errors, make sure it's got logical flow. This is not easy stuff. And my statistical training with marketing research has been very valuable. I do miss the number crunching with several hundred thousand records and building models. I miss that. But what I've got is a keen sense of what's important.
You definitely provide an invaluable service, and I recommend everybody listening to check it out and give it some serious thought as we head into 2013, because next year is going to be a monumental one, that's for sure. I hope we can talk again soon, Jim. From everybody in Turdville, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and Happy Kwanzaa and Ramadan.
Oh, thanks. I think you covered that all. I think 2013 will be the year the dollar is rejected.
Why wouldn't it be? If not 13, then it'll be 14. I mean, we live in consequential times, and we're just glad you're out there helping and sharing your wisdom with us all. Jim, thank you for your time, and I hope we can visit again very soon.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.